Bless your heart, your blessing must be broke. Amen. Some of you will recall about 6 years ago, Felicia sang that song here. It was the evening, the Sunday after the evening before, she had sang it at the the missionary study class out in Bethany. I think we were Bethany and Wheaton Chapel. Then she sang here the next day. It was Father's Day. And it was that Monday morning, 1 a.m., 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, that I was having what I came to know was a heart attack, waking with severe pain in my chest. And I told Felicia, I think this is the big one, honey. You know, I'm going home. You know, not safe. Called the fire department. And I heard that if you think you're having a heart attack, take aspirin. And I went and swallowed a couple, three aspirin. I heard later by the paramedics that you should chew the aspirin, not just swallow them, because it helps to get into your system a little faster. So I popped a couple of three aspirin. And when the paramedics had me on the gurney, put me up inside the ambulance, I was laying there. I said, Felicia. She said, well, I'm safe in his arms. If the Lord decides to take me home, that's good. If he decides to let me stay, that's all right. Whatever he decides to do, I am safe in his arms. To have the assurance that no matter what happens to you, you will stand before the Lord, accept it. That's peace. That is peace that passes all understanding. And I had that peace, and it was that song, those songs over those two nights that, and everything else that I know about the Lord. But that song was deep in my heart, safe in his arms. I was talking to our brother earlier who said 4 years now, he's been defeating cancer. He's cancer-free for 4 years. Those of us who have faced the enemy of our soul, you know, don't have to fear that anymore. And I hope that you're sitting here with that assurance that you know for sure that you know that when you breathe your last on this side, you will wake up in his presence, accept it because of the grace of God that has been extended to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn with me in your Bibles, we were up at Lake Geneva yesterday for the 60th anniversary, and I often recap that sequence of events. Invited to go to a Labor Day weekend in 1975, just gotten back from overseas. A couple of months later, Al Mostert, some of you know the Mostert family, the Pope family, Dan Pope, two of those young guys invited me to go up to the retreat with them. Up at Labor Day, and it was a college and career age retreat, and I'd never been to a Christian camp in my life. First time I was actually in attendance at a local church, Laughlin Chapel, been there about a month and a half or so. They said they insisted, really, they didn't just invite me, they insisted I go up to this retreat with them. I'd never been to a retreat before. Oh, I want to go. Oh, come on, Steve, you got to go. So they got me to go. And that weekend, that Friday, we arrived, met some great people. Jim David, others, George Brewster, Norm Brewster, some other young people. George, Norm Brewster, and I at 25 were the oldest guys on campus. Norm was coordinating, and I was attending, but at 25, he and I are about a month apart in age. But we were the old heads up there, and they had some recent high school graduates going into college. They had a few people who were in their careers, early part of their careers. And then, that's how I got to meet him. And I was the next day, Saturday morning, standing in the chapel. And some of you have never been there before. There's a Lake Geneva youth camp. There's a campsite for kids who come up. Then there's a conference site, like a retreat area. We were on the campsite, and there's a chapel that's been rehabbed, beautifully rehabbed, and expanded on. But I was in the old chapel up there by the fireplace that Saturday morning, and a gentleman named Landick, Mr. Landick, comes up, and he says, introduces himself, and Mr. Landick, Warren Landick, was he'd get you to open up. He'd talk to anybody, I suppose, but he got me talking. And I mentioned to him just the name of Mr. Adrian Preston, one of the men who led me to the Lord overseas. And then Mr. Lang said, I know Pat Preston. He says, you got to share your testimony. You know what my testimony was. You got to share your testimony tomorrow during the service. I said, well, maybe by tomorrow I'll have enough nerve. I've never done this before. You know, maybe by tomorrow I'll be prayed up enough to share my testimony. that evening, we were scheduled to have a movie, a Christian film, in the chapel. And we were there, and the guys were dilly and dallying with the projector, and something told me, you better start praying now. I began praying, and sure enough, I hear Mr. Landy going up to the front. He says, we can't get this projector going, but that's all right. We got a young man here going to share his testimony. Come on up here. Come up here. And he just literally threw me to the wolves, you know, just threw me to the lions, you know, just baptism by fire. I shared my testimony that evening. And then that was the first time, my first public speaking assignment right there at the chapel up at Lake Geneva. And then Jim David called me, and he says, I want you to come up, this is about 2 or 3 weeks later, he said, I want you to come up to Lakeview Chapel and share your testimony on a Sunday evening after the service, during the Sunday evening service. And I told the people laughing that morning, I said, I will be going up on the north side, up on Damon, to share my testimony. I've never shared it here before, so I better do it here before I go up there, you know. So when I came to Lakeview Chapel, that was my third public speaking assignment. So you guys, any problems that have resulted... And you hear about this guy, Steve Thompson, running around causing trouble. It's due to you guys, you know, because you encouraged me that, you know, come on up and speak. And then he actually called me back a year or so later, you know. So it's been a blessing to be in association with the Lakeview crowd, now the Northwest people. And I've really come to love and appreciate you for that and your openness and your faithfulness to the gospel. Often tell people of late, as I said, the older I get, and, of course, as you get older, I think you get a little bolder. You realize, hey, time is short. You got to get the word out and get people stirred up, trying to stir up the people of God, which is difficult. You know, we're sheep, and sheep have their own agendas oftentimes. But it's trying to feed the flock of God, tend to the flock of God. You know, you got to get the people of God moving. And a theme lately has been for the people of God, I want you to know that report card day is coming. I think I've told you this before, last time I was with you maybe, but I want you to know, some new ones here, but you guys need to know that report card day is coming. What does that mean? That means that we're going to stand before the Lord sooner or later. And like I say, the older I get, I know it's going to be sooner than later. And it could be any moment for all of us. If the Lord comes back for the whole group of us at one time, which is we're looking forward to that, it could be this moment. It could be the next moment. It could be any instant now. We could all be standing before the Lord. Amen? And those of us who check out, you know, one at a time, we will stand before him. One way or the other, we're standing before him. I give myself maybe 20 years. I'm 60 now. By the grace of God, I made 60 in March. And then, and by the time I make 80, I say one way or the other, either I'll have stood before the Lord, going to be with him, or he'll be back for all of us. And 20 years, even if you're young here today, 18, 19, 20 years is no time at all. It's just yesterday that George was looking at, you know, it's gone by, hasn't it, George? It just flies. Time flies. We don't have a whole lot of time. So 20 years from now, I'm going to be in the Lord's presence, I believe. And that being the case, I've got to get myself in order. You've got to get yourself in order. My concern for all of us, that when we stand before the Lord, we don't stand there sad about the fact that I had an opportunity. He gave me opportunity. Not only did he give you the opportunity to do something for him, he gave you the grace. He gave you the strength. He gave you the wherewithal to get the job done, didn't he? All that God has called you to do, he gives you. All that you need to get the job done. I find that to be so. In my life, I'm sure it's true of you. He's no respecter of persons. He treats all of his kids the same. And God has given us an assignment in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. By grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, isn't it? Not of works, thank God, that anyone should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's before ordained that we should walk in. And that verse tells me that God has a work for me to do, prescribed, already laid out for me. From the moment I trusted him, he already had, in fact, before I even trusted him, truth be known, from eternity past, God already knew all the circumstances, all the possibilities, all the realities of my life. And he's already laid out the path for me to follow, the work for me to do, the people he wanted me to get in contact with, the people he intended for me to share the gospel with, the people he intended for me to lead to himself. Whether I was planting the seed, whether I was watering the seed, or whether I was, by God's grace, able to reap the harvest of the soul, he saved them, of course, but I was there doing the harvesting thing. Either way, the Lord knows everyone that was on my list. He knows everyone that was on your list as far as reaching out. People that you were to help. So sisters and brothers in Christ that you were to encourage. Whatever the assignment was, you've been given it, I've been given mine. And I want you to know that report card day is coming. I'm going to have to give an account. You'll have to give an account. When I was a kid growing up, south side of Chicago, and the schools were much better. Now, Sister K is an exception, but the schools were much better. Teachers were tremendous. And Sister K has taught, retired now, but I came up in the era when it was expected of you when we went to school, you did not pass unless you read at a certain grade level. You could do your math at a certain grade level. They would leave you behind back in those days, you know. And I would go to school, and I was one of those guys who put forth as little effort as possible. You know, it wasn't until the fat was in the fire, completely almost burnt to a crisp, before I would do anything. And many a time my grade, whatever, third, second, fourth grade teacher, eighth grade, whatever, called me up and said, Thompson, come here. She showed me her record books. Said, look, these are the grades you've had so far. Unless you get these kind of grades, you're going to fail. I go back to my desk, sit down, and my partners who like to goof off and play around, girls didn't do that, but guys, you know how we are, want to goof off. They want to whisper and do something. Hey, I can't play now because I've got my warning. If I get home with a failing, if I fail this class, I'm going to have a whole lot of explaining to do when I get home. And there's not enough explaining to explain this. And I knew what would happen to me. So then I would put forth the effort to bring my grades up. And I lived my whole elementary school, high school years that way. Always down to the wire, always by the sweat of your brow, by the hair on your teeth, or whatever, skin on your teeth. I would make it through. And I learned the lesson then. It's not too comfortable living that way. And now that I come to know the Lord, I don't want to live that way before the Lord. I don't want you to live that way before the Lord because I'm going to have to answer before him. You're going to have to answer before him. You don't want to wait till the last minute to try to do something. You want to be consistent, in a sense, throughout your life. You want to... The walk that you began with him some years ago, you want to, in a sense, be improving on that walk. Let's turn in, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And to know that there's a judgment coming for all of us. And it says, according to the grace of God, in chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he, she, they build on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is the true foundation is Christ. He's the true foundation. No other foundation. Any other foundation is false. Any other foundation will fail you. If you built your life on anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. And I was in trouble for 22 years of my life. I was out there on my own thinking I knew something about something, and I was going straight to hell. I was on a collision course, and I was trying to get there quick. You know, like most of us who come out of the world, we were hell-bound. We were determined, and it took the grace of God, it took the love of God, it took God's to allow me to slow down long enough. I hit the wall, hit bottom, and I looked up, and there was the Lord saying, now what are you going to do, you know? What are you going to do now? You've done everything. You've tried everything else. Now what are you going to do? And he was saying essentially to me, Steve, this is what you've done. You've ruined your life. You've ruined the lives of others. What are you going to do? But this is what I have done. I've taken all of your sin, every bit of your sin, even the sin that caused you to realize that you were a sinner. Because up until the time that I hit that wall and fell into that pit, I thought I was okay. I thought, well, this is just how life goes. But when I fell and went down to the depths of despair, the depths of sin and woe, then I realized I was no different from anyone else. I tell people I knew I was in trouble when I realized that if I were God, which I didn't believe in God at the time when I was early in my life, I didn't believe that there was a God. Those kinds of thoughts that, hey, you know, man is the top of the heap, man has done all these things and all that kind of stuff. But when I was in that despair, in that hopelessness, in that guilt condition, I said about myself, if there's a God in heaven, I'm in trouble. Because I said, well, because if I were God, if there is a God in heaven, and if I were him, and if someone like me came before me as God, I would put them in hell. So I knew I was toast. I was burnt up. I was on my way. Because I had already assessed. I had tried and weighed myself, and I came up wanting. You're in trouble. If there's a God in heaven, you're going to burn. Thankfully, I was not God in heaven because the God who is in heaven was more gracious towards me than I would have been towards myself. The message that God wanted for me to hear was that, Steve, I know you. I know all about you. I know everything you would ever do in the way of sin, and I love you anyhow. I love you anyhow. Even when I came to a point where I didn't like myself no more. Now, that's a cruel place to get to. You know, early on in life, we think the sun rises and sets on us, don't we? We think we're the center of the universe. Then one day you look at the mirror and the person staring back at you, you don't like anymore. That's hopefully you've never gotten to that point in your life, in your despair, in your misery, in your sin, that even you don't like you. But I came to that point where I didn't even like myself no more. And yet the God of heaven says, Steve, in spite of you, I love you. And the proof of my love is that when you were without strength, even before you even knew about this, I had already sent my son to the cross to die for you. He had already taken your sin on himself. And all I want you to do is believe that I love you that much. Believe that I sent him to the cross to die for you. Receive him as your Savior, and we'll start anew. We'll start afresh. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. So I came to that point, and the Lord began to let me know that, hey, from that moment, you have been building upon a foundation. Christ is that foundation. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest or be revealed. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And what the Word of God is telling me is that the quality of my work, the quality of my labor, the quality of my whole life before God is described in terms of six different elements. It's either wood, it's either gold, silver, precious stone, or it's wood, hay, or straw. Those are the six qualities of your work, my work, our work. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw. He says that there's going to be a fiery test of your work, your life, your endeavors, your lack of endeavors, all that you've ever done from day one, trusting the Lord. And for some of us, that goes back 40, 50 years. Others of us, maybe a few months ago. Whatever category you're in, from the moment you trusted the Lord, I want you to know, the Word of God wants you to know, you have been building upon the foundation. If no one ever told you this, you're being told now. So you're never standing before the Lord and say, Lord, no one ever told me this. No, you heard it today. You have been building upon the foundation. So get serious. because there's gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw that you've been building with. And when you stand before the Lord, when I stand before the Lord, and if and as you read Revelation, how the Lord's eyes were described as red, fiery, piercing eyes, when John says he saw the Lord standing before him and he had those piercing red, fiery eyes, we'll stand before him, what's called the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to look at you. It might be some kind of tape playing or DVD, and they got a review of your whole life. I don't know how he's going to do it, but the Lord can do it. You know, he's got powers that we don't know anything about. But he'll have, you'll know that he knows everything you've ever done. Thankfully, if you're standing there at that point, you're not standing for condemnation for hellfire, are you? Thank God for that. Your salvation is free and clear. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a gift to God, from God to you. But your work, your life, from the moment you trusted the Lord, building upon that foundation, is up to you. It's on you now. It has been on you. And when the Lord looks upon that, your life, if your work for the Lord, your lack of work for the Lord, has been wood, hay, and straw, what happens when you put a match to those things? Puff. Gone. Smell of smoke, you know, fire, flame, destroyed. But that quality of your work that is described as gold, silver, precious stone, you refine gold by fire, yes, but you still got some gold. You know, in fact, the impurities, the fire allows the impurities of that gold to rise to the surface, be skimmed off, and you're left with pure gold. You're left with pure silver. A precious stone, not much more you can do to it, is there. So hopefully you got a gem somewhere in your life. You know, there was one thing, if not several things, you've done right for the Lord that would qualify as a gem. That was right on point. And it's mostly times, it's only when we have done the work that he gave us to do in the strength that he gave us to do it with for his glory. We didn't do it for us. We didn't do it for my gain, but we did it for the kingdom. We did it to glorify him, and it was purely that intent. And that pure a thought and that use of his power to accomplish it rather than doing it in your own strength. You ever find that as you serve the Lord, it gets rougher and rougher and harder and more difficult? It may be because you're doing it in your own strength. I find, as he says, the Lord says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But if you find it difficult, and at this stage in our lives, if we find it, if we've served the Lord and walked with the Lord and known of the Lord, and it's getting more and more difficult, it may be because, or if we didn't start serving the Lord and walking with him early in life, we've just been going along, we find life difficult. It may be because as we are yoked together with the Lord, I describe it as someone, the yoke was an instrument to transfer the strength of the stronger one animal, in the case of an ox or a cow or something, to the weaker one so they could pull together. But in the case of our being yoked with the Lord, he's the stronger one. We're yoked to him, and he's pulling in one direction, I'm pulling in another direction. So I'm being dragged all over the place. But if I get in line with him, if I get in step with him, I find indeed that the burden is easy. The yoke is easy, the burden is light, because I'm going in his direction. I'm actually seeking his will. I'm actually seeking to glorify him with my life. I want my labor to be that of honoring him. So as I go about that intent, the grace of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God, the resources of the Lord are there to accomplish what he's given me to do. And I praise him for that because it's not on me now. It's his doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. So some of us hopefully will have some gold, some silver, a precious stone or two left after this fiery test so that we might be able to, as some suggest, with your crown of life, your crown of righteousness, the crown that he gives us, be able to throw those crowns, those jewels, those rewards back at his feet and say, you're the one worthy, Lord. You gave me all that I needed to get the job done. You gave me the work to do. You gave me the strength to do the work. Then you give me reward on top of that. So how can you lose? And that's what he wants to do for all of us. And every one of you here today, every one of us here today, when we stand before the Lord, I hope that some will say, I got the warning on that July 18th day. I was going about it in my own strength. I was doing it for my own purposes. I was using not doing anything in service for the Lord. But I decided that day to listen up. And I realized that if I stand before the Lord, I will be in trouble. I don't want to be in trouble before him. I want to have that well done, good and faithful servant commendation given in my ears. That the Lord who gave his life, the Lord who gave himself, the God who gave his son, I determined that he is indeed worthy of all of my time, all of my attention, all of my talent, all of my treasure. And the fact that he would allow me to serve him is an honor. And there's a need for service here in the community at the chapel. There's a need for service at Lake Geneva. There's a need for service at other facilities that you know of, other ministries that you know of. There's a need for support of those ministries. And the Lord has given you those assignments, given us these assignments. And as we were reminded yesterday, it's because of the faithfulness of other people who years ago, in the case of the camp, 60 years ago, men of vision who said, we're going to commit ourselves, our resources, to purchase this particular plot of ground with the idea that someday it will be and it will become a place of blessing for the salvaging of souls, for children, a ministry to children, a ministry to kids. And it's become that, and it has probably exceeded all of their expectations because the Lord was in it and is marvelous in our sight. And he wants to do greater things, more things and greater things for all of us and through us. And we have an opportunity now to sign up, to get on board, because time is short. My time is short. Your time is short. It won't be long. Hallelujah. We'll be out of here. We'll be in his presence, be able to praise him forever. Amen. Father, we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Help us to be those who take heed to the warning of a time when we'll have to stand before you to give an account. And may we have that day something remaining of the work that we've done, of the service we've done for you. Some of us will have to kick it into high gear. But, Lord, we know that you are able to take our lives and use them for your glory, for your kingdom, for your honor. We ask that you bless us, continue to bless the leadership here at Northwest and his members. Help us to continue to be faithful to your word and to the call to be people of God, to serve you with our whole hearts and bring forth the kingdom of God even on this earth. We thank you. We praise you in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.